Proverbs chapter number 10. We continue our study in the wonderful book of Proverbs. Again, Proverbs gives us a wonderful way to live, a way to be guided on a day-by-day, situation-by-situation type of living. I love the Bible, but I don't know how to live by it. I need help. And the book of Proverbs gives me the help I need to learn to live. The world has beat on me for all these years, and before I was saved, it taught me everything that it thought I should do. But now, as a Christian, my job is to find out what God wants me to do and how He wants me to live. He made me. He made you. He designed me. He designed you. And He gave us a specific way in which we could be the best that we could be in the creation that He has made. And the book of Proverbs tells us how to live that way. So we're going to start with Proverbs chapter number 10 tonight. We'll start with verse number 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die of want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow to it. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As a whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting fountain. As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eye, so is a sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the worker of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. Well, we see in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 10, line by line, precept upon precept, a form in which of the Bible study now that we call antithetic statements. One statement after another statement with positive and negative statements within that. Things we should do, things we shouldn't do. Things that bring wisdom, things that bring foolishness. Let's pray and then we'll look at these verses for tonight. Father, thank you so much for what we've learned so far. Lord, I know that now, as we look at the book of Proverbs, every word seems to become extremely important. And though we may not look at every verse individually, as a Christian, we need to learn how to understand these verses, what to find in those verses, so that we can apply wisdom to every aspect of our life on a day-by-day life, or an hour-by-hour living. So help us now, Lord, to do that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, in chapter 10, we start with verse number 20. The tongue of the righteous is a choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is of little worth. So we see two things here. We see the tongue of the just is choice silver. But the heart, now it's not the tongue there. There's a difference. The heart of the wicked is little worth. So the tongue and the heart, now those don't seem to be connected, but they are. Because what you think of in your heart is what comes out of our life. That's what comes out of our mouth. Now I can't say every time I've ever opened my mouth, that's what's been in my heart. Sometimes I've said things, and sometimes you've said things because we wanted to say them so that we could hurt someone, or win a victory, or think ourselves to be better than somebody else. That's unwise, period. But when we speak wisdom, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The things we say become very important. They become very valuable. But the heart of the wicked isn't worth much. Isn't worth much because there's not much going on there that's going to benefit anybody. So there's not a value in even the heart of the wicked, before it ever comes out of their mouth, or the actions that they take place, what going on inside of a foolish person in the wicked. Remember, wickedness, you can be saved and be wicked. Wickedness is to commit a sin that's intention to hurt someone else. And God says that corrupts the whole interior of us. The whole thing, we become corrupted on the inside. Verse 21 continues with the theme of the tongue. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die of want of wisdom. So we see food, and then we also see death. One is prosperous, one is killing. We need food on a regular basis. We die because want of food. Amen? So the lips of the righteous feed many. So when we speak right, when we live right, when we speak the things of the Word of God, then we bring life to many people. We feed many people. We feed ourselves and we feed those around us. But the fool dies of want of wisdom. He doesn't have wisdom. He's always trying to get it. He looks everywhere in the world for it. Can't find it. I think of the young lady that did it this week, the country music singer. Name escapes me. But she was about 34, 35 years old. Had all the money you could want. All the fame that you could want, but couldn't get off drugs because she couldn't find wisdom. She couldn't find something worth living for. Why? Because when we have nothing worth living for, there's nothing worth living for. When we find the things of God, then we have something that's worthwhile. And it doesn't just help us. It helps many people. It feeds others. Amen? Look in verse 23. It's a sport to a fool to do mischief. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. So, the word sport there means it's a game. It's a big deal. It's a big game for the fool to do mischief. It's what they do. That's what they have, how they have fun. And I've seen that. And you've seen that. It's pretty silly. But on the other hand, a man of understanding, he hath wisdom. Remember that word understanding? We had it at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs. The word understanding means to apply the view of God, to comprehend it, and to accept it. And so here we have the word understanding. So what's God telling us? The understanding of a man who has understanding, he hath wisdom. There's a whole lot more value to that than to play a silly game. It's a sport. In sports you win, in sports you lose. But you know, with wisdom and understanding, you never lose. It's always prosperous. Verse 24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. So here is one who has fear and one who has desire. Two opposite directions. One who's the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. The Bible says that we fear that which we need not to fear. A great president once said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Fear is the lack of trusting in faith, Jesus Christ. That's all it is. If everything that happens in my life is planned by God, then what do I have to fear? I fear not death. So what in life should I fear? I've been reading the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I've been reading it. I've read it a number of times in my life. I'm reading it again. And I think about the people that were taken and savagely treated and then killed, who were tortured over and over and over again. One man in about the year 325 was tortured. They stoned him to death. When they walked away, some of the followers of the church, and the church came to pick up this brother in Christ and found he was still alive. They nursed him back to health. He got strong again. And the king had condemned him to death. So after he got strong enough to get up and walk around, he went out and found the king himself. And said, you tried once, but it wasn't good enough. You ready to try again? Why, was he being cocky? No, he was trying to let them know that there is some power in God that man does not have. The king was flabbergasted by this. Totally and completely shocked. And what did he do? Had him killed. Had him killed. Had him taken out and had his head chopped off so he wouldn't come back to life. It wasn't that he was dead, it's just they didn't finish the job. But that boldness, there was no fear on their part of that death, because to die is gain. To die is gain. So I look forward to the day I get to go to heaven. I think of our friend, Rick Fox, who just passed away. That was a graduation for him. That's not a funeral for him. Now, we miss him here. His wife will miss him. His church will miss him. We'll miss him. Those who knew him and loved him will miss him. But for him, he's happy. You couldn't ask him to come. You couldn't pay him enough to come back here. Why? Because heaven is such a marvelous place. And so we want to have life. And when we're walking with Christ, there's nothing to fear. If things around us don't seem to go well, we really don't have anything to worry about. If God ordained it, we're right there. So if we walk in wisdom and in His power and in His might and in the strength and walk according to His Word, then I have nothing to fear, and neither do you. So let's take a look. So that's an important thing, that the fear of the wicked shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. So when I go to the Lord with the desires of my heart, He gives them to us. Not our wants, our desires. So the important things is that I need things. I need food. I need shelter. I need things on this earth. He didn't say He's going to give us our needs. He's already promised that. That's already a promise. Now He's telling us that He'd give us our desires. What is it that we desire to do? What is it that we desire? I think of my son who just got to the mission field. That's been his lifetime desire. To get to the mission field on a full-time basis. Now, he's been to the mission field before. Don't misunderstand me. It's not that he's never been there before. And he started works, but now he's there on a permanent basis, living on a foreign soil in a foreign country for one purpose: to win people to Jesus Christ. That's exciting. That was a desire that he had, and God has given him his desire. All right, verse number 25. The whirlwind passes, so that the wicked, as the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous shall have everlasting foundations. So, you've been in a windstorm. It comes, it goes, it does what it does, and then it's gone, and everybody forgets about it. And usually when it's there, it brings a lot of damage. But that's not the way the righteous live. Notice what it says in the second half. The righteous, it's an everlasting foundation. So if you knock us down, we keep on going. Do you know why it's an everlasting foundation? Because we keep winning people to Christ. That's eternal. Every time I do something for Christ, it's eternal. It's not temporal. Everything I do something for something on this world, it's temporal. It's only temporary. I wonder how many names of all the millions of people that lived in the year 12 BC could we name today? Or what they did. Or what they manufactured. Or what they invented. I don't know any names from that period of time that had anything that had any endurance to life. But I know a name and other names of men who were born to there in that time, like a Peter, mm-hmm. and a James and a John, mm-hmm. that walked with Jesus, who became His apostles, who did things for eternal purposes. I know of a Moses and a Jonah and an Abraham. Why do those names last forever? Even the heathen world knows Moses. Even the heathen world knows the name Jesus and Peter and Paul and James and John. Why do those names stand for such a long period of time? Because they're the righteous. We build foundations that live forever and ever. And their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is a book forever and ever. And so, when everything on this world passes away and it's over, the righteous will continue. Those that have gone to heaven before us, their life hasn't ended. They pass from a temporal life into eternal life. And they'll continue on and on and on, because our foundation is one thing: Jesus Christ, who is eternal. So I have an eternal foundation. As vinegar, verse 26, to the teeth and the smoke to the eye. That means they're irritants, amen? They're irritants. So is a sluggard to them that send them. They're irritating. Someone that doesn't do it. A lazy, good-for-nothing person that doesn't do what they're supposed to do. You send them to go do a job, then you got to send somebody else to go do a job. We're living in a generation of a bunch of sluggards. Nobody can get the job done the first time around or the second time around. And so we keep sending people there. And when you got to take a break, it's funny if you watch a lot of workers, how much break time they get. Just standing at their desk. Or standing at their location, not getting a job done, and working for the purpose of, I just got to fill this time, make sure I fill this, and then That ended, I remember a conversation we had with Beatrice a couple weeks ago about education, how our education system is only worried about getting the tests done and not really educating our children, not really getting the work done. You know, when we look for that, it's kind of like being a sluggard. A teacher's purpose is to teach. A worker's job is to work, not to be a pain and an irritant, like smoke in the eyes, the burning problem, an irritating problem. So it's important then that we work hard. Do well what we're supposed to do. The fear of the Lord, verse 27, prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So the Lord prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. What does that mean, to be afraid of Him? No. That means to want to reverence Him and respect Him. Obey Him. I reverenced my parents. The Bible says that's we do that for the Lord, and He prolongs our days, our years here. But the wicked shall be shortened. The wicked shall be cut off short, it says somewhere else in the Bible. So it's important then that we realize that we as Christians, we have a choice of how long our life is going to be. We can prolong our days. I was talking with a man on Monday evening. His name is, I want to say Fernando, but that's not right. It's... I can't think of his first name now. And Fidel. I was talking to Fidel. And not Castro, but Fidel. And we were talking, and he was telling me that early in his life, in his late teen years, to his almost to his 30s, he was a singer and a musician. And we were talking about that kind of life. And we were talking about how I was in show business and he was in show business. Those are two different parts of show business, but we each came to the same conclusion. If we would have continued in that kind of life, we'd have died by now. But then we got saved. He's a little older than I was when I got saved, but he got saved. And like me, he threw his sin to the side and started serving Jesus Christ. And he's a wonderful Christian man now. Been serving the Lord for many years. It's an honor to be His friend. And we both know this. If we would have continued in the world, we both would have died. I believe that with all my heart about me. And he believes that with all of his heart about himself. And I think we're probably right. But when we walk with God, He prolongs our days. Why? Because we have something to offer. There's a reason. See, you end up to hang around with the wrong crowd, and that's where we ended up to hang around with the wrong crowd. And a lot of times we do hang around with the wrong crowd. And the wrong crowd brings us to nothing. Brings us to death. Brings us to ruin. Brings us to destruction. That's what the book of Proverbs is showing us over and over and over again here. And now we see it in a real practical form here. The verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So, the longer we live a wicked life, whether we're saved or not saved, the wicked man is not necessarily unsaved. We can shorten our days as Christians, or we can lengthen our days as Christians by fearing the Lord. And that's the difference. Remember back in chapter number 1 and verse number 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools have despised wisdom and instruction." So we need to be wise, amen, and I need to have fear of the Lord, respect or reverence my God. Verse 28, hope of the righteous, the hope of righteousness shall be gladness, but the expectations of the wicked shall perish. So again, wickedness leads to death, righteousness leads to gladness and wonderful life. One brings destruction, one brings excitement, joy, peace. Long suffering. Hey, we could say that we could find that in other parts of the Bible, couldn't we? So it's a very practical statement. Verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but the destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The way of the Lord, that's the way, that's the direction, that's the path we're on, the Lord's path, the way, is strength to the upright. That's how I get my strength. By walking in His direction, on His road. Walking on His path that He set out for me. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Iniquity is intentionally sinning against that which we know. intentionally sinning against that which we know from the Word of God. You can be saved and commit iniquities. David committed iniquity when he had, when he slept with Bathsheba, committed adultery, and had Uriah the Hittite murdered, and then hid it. So the adultery was a sin, but it wasn't just a sin. He knew that which was right. He went against that which was right. It became an iniquity. And he knew murder was wrong, yet he was instrumental in devising a method in which having Uriah the Hittite murdered without it looking like he was murdered. But he was murdered. And what does that do for us? That brings destruction. If you watch the life of David, that brought a lot of destruction to his life. For David, a saved man. The Bible says a man after God's own heart. A good man. A good fellow. We would like him here in this generation. A man of conviction. A man of standards. A man of vision. A man of leadership. A man of compassion. Yet, he sinned. He just didn't sin. He committed iniquity. He knew what he was supposed to do and went against it on purpose. And it brought him to destruction. Because iniquity always brings destruction. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. So, we need then to follow the path that God has given us, the way. Walk on His way. Well, how do I find God's way? That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. Walking in God's way on a day by day, situation by situation, path. So, how do you apply the Bible? It's easy. The book of Proverbs is giving us step by step what to do. How to behave during these different situations. How to always be. And so what he's telling us is that we need to follow the Lord's way. Verse 30, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. That means we're never going to be destroyed. We'll never end. We're going to be back here on a new heaven and a new earth one day. Not exactly on this earth. It's going to be wiped away. But the wicked won't be there. The unsaved won't be there. They get wiped out. Now, don't misunderstand me when I say that. Because I'm not saying you can be wicked and act wicked and not be saved. But if you're saved, you're going to heaven. And you'll live on a new heaven and a new earth. Now, you may not have a whole lot of rewards from heaven. You may not have a lot of crowns, amen. And you may get there by the skin of your teeth that it talks about in the New Testament, just getting there, saved so as by grace, and that's it. But heaven will be your home. But those that aren't saved, they don't have that. They don't inherit anything. They don't get anything. Isn't it sad? Some people work all of their life and labor and work and work and labor and do good things. And never receive Christ as Savior. And they have sin that's never been paid for. And they can't go to heaven. And they don't inherit anything. And yet they worked and they labored for a future that's not there for them. Because they never received Christ as Savior. The mouth of the just shall bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. So here we see again the speaking here. The mouth of the just, it brings forth wisdom, but the tongue of the forward shall be cut out. Verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. And so it's important then that we learn how to use wisdom in our speech, isn't it? I want to say the right things. I want to say them in the right way. I want to be acceptable before God. That doesn't mean we don't stand for Christ. So the question is our speech appropriate? We need to say the right things at the right time. So we can learn how to behave then in every situation. That's what wisdom is. Remember how we go back to wisdom is threefold. It's looking at God, the world from God's, or life through God's point of view or God's perspective. Look at our relationship with Him as ourself and our relationship with others, how to treat others. So wisdom is knowing how to treat others. So here we see wisdom then is learning how to talk right at the right time so that we're the right things to the right people when they need us the most. And so that brings an end to chapter number 10. And we'll start chapter number 11 next week, but it's important for us then to know that as we go through now the book of Proverbs, and again, I'm going to tell you now, we're not going to look at every verse like we did in chapter 10. We're going to look at some verses so that we can learn how to understand these proverbs. Amen? Some of the proverbs, we saw a couple of them about the tongue all together there. So those really should be looked at together as one section. Verses are put there for man to understand it so we could find it in our Bible so we could read it together. But they're one-line statements. Sometimes they're two- and three-line statements where there's a positive and a negative there. And we need to learn to discern what the positive is and what the negative is, what was way for God and the way for foolishness or the way of the world, so we can cling on to God's wisdom instead of the world's wisdom when it comes to living. Remember, wisdom isn't being wise in the world. Wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view. Looking at ourselves from God's point of view. Looking at others from God's point of view. So it's really a way to live. About with our own self, with our relationship with God, and our relationship with others. And we look at it that way, the book of Proverbs becomes very helpful for you and I. On a situation by situation basis. Daily, not just hourly, but by moment, how to live. Father, thank you for what we've learned tonight. Lord, we need your help.